The BBC Radio Wales Arts Show
with Nicola Heywood Thomas.
This week's art show comes from the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama in Cardiff. The building closed to students and staff in March, but is coming to life once again as a new academic year begins. Of course, there are major changes and stringent regulations to keep everyone safe from the spread of coronavirus. So we'll be asking how music and drama students can effectively learn their craft, which, more than just about any other, depends on working closely together. What does this new world mean for Wales's National Conservatoire? How can creativity still flourish? And what's the future for performers? This month, the college took delivery of 24 new Steinway pianos, and students, graduates and staff used them to full advantage in a specially composed piece to celebrate a new beginning. Written by a composition student at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama, Julia Plout, that was 24 pianos, played on the 24 new pianos here by students and staff. Well, with me now is Professor Helena Gaunt, Principal of the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama. Helena, we've heard 24 brand new pianos being played here. It must be great to be hearing live music in this college.
Oh, my goodness. It's an extraordinary moment to feel that live music happening, people together making music, connecting through their playing, and actually to have a new piece, a new commission, especially for this moment, into the new year, which is by no means the end of COVID, as we all know, but it is a new year, and we're in a new world. And to feel that actually performance is a part of it, albeit socially distanced and very carefully organised. It's so important for us here. But I think we're all feeling, just at the level of human beings, how important the arts are to us, to all of us, in terms of their creativity, their humanity, just their well-being, just feeling this building come alive again with those pianos has lifted all of us in this community hugely.
There must be huge challenges that you've been facing to make the building safe, to change the way that students are being taught, being trained, and actually to keep your staff morale up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Particularly for our disciplines, music and theatre, that rely on people being together and responding to one another, it's such a huge challenge. So lots of things don't look the same here now. We've got one-way systems in place and sanitising and health checks and huge restrictions on the number of people who can be in any one room at a time. So we've been working really, really hard on this. We are absolutely determined, as long as we are allowed to have students coming in for that live teaching because of the nature of the disciplines. So we're planning that all the students will have some experience every week on campus, and the rest of what they're experiencing will be online. So it's a blended model.
You had experience and were thrown in at the deep end in March when lockdown came, and so you trialled different ways of working. What about the new intake for this year? Surely it's important to get to know these young people.
It is, and so in the first 2 weeks of term we've created a completely new induction process for our students, and that's really trying to bring them onto the inside of the institution and the culture and the expectations and ways of working in this blended environment that we have, trying to help them find their feet in that world, and then equally introducing them to their particular academic teams who are leading their programme and having some face-to-face time with them. So those incoming students are the top priority in those first weeks, and we'll really be hoping to give them a good entry into the institution.
So much of drama training and quite a lot of music training depends on physical proximity. How can you make this work?
We're working really hard in terms of how we develop the craft training, and again looking at reducing group sizes so that they can work together, albeit with the relevant social distancing. We're also changing some of the kinds of production work that we're doing. The thing that is the most difficult of all is live theatre. And so we're putting in place, we're doing some filmed work, for example, that gives us the opportunity to really dig into important artistic material in a way that has real integrity, but actually doesn't require quite the same level of right up close.
How would you sum up the future for the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama?
I think we've got a tremendous responsibility. The arts are in a really difficult time, and we need to be a part of ensuring that they continue, and in the most relevant, meaningful ways for diverse communities. That's what we need to work towards. And our part in this has a particular focus around training the professional workforce for the future.
Will teaching drama and music be changed forever by COVID?
I think it will, and for the better. I think it will be about taking the best of what we already knew and continuing to work with that and enhance it, and taking what we've learned and what we are learning in those digital spheres. There are so many opportunities creatively, but also in being more flexible about how students can learn, and in empowering them to take that responsibility and carve out their own journey.
We caught up with some students to see how they've been coping with such major changes and how they feel about the future.
It's been a very interesting time actually getting back to the college. I mean, we had to fill in loads of forms and documents. It made me a little nervous, but then got here and saw all the amazing, like the one-way system, all the different ways of actually keeping the distance while still being able to perform. When we were on stage and actually singing together, we were making sure we were doing the social distances guidelines set by the Royal Opera House. So 6 metres out front, 2 metres either side. And it just meant that we could all be safe and comfortable whilst still doing what we love.
The industry is slightly guilty of not really showing people what work goes in behind the scenes. There's a lot of expense and time that goes into a lot of what we do musically, you know, in arts across the board, really. And to do everything that I do virtually has, you know, a big cost in all the equipment that I've had to get over the years and recently to be able to do all of this. And I know many of my friends who've done sort of online music teaching have had to invest in new webcams, new microphones, all of that sort of thing.
Like things in general, everything comes in waves. There are going to be a problematic time. Yet I've got the luxury of having 2 years in a fantastic space where we're doing everything properly and safely, and still making the connections, still working our instruments and practicing and doing what we do. We can still do it at a distance. It's just an interesting and different style. The future, in 2 years' time, who knows what's going to be going on. However, by that point, maybe more things will get set up in a way to make sure that the social distance performances, if need be, can still continue.
I hope it's not forever, but if we do need to adapt, I'm sure we will. We've adapted to lots of things in the past. I think what we've really seen over the last few months is how essential the arts are to all of our mental and physical well-beings. A lot of things have been made free, which is good for a lot of reasons, but then obviously for those who make money from this sort of thing, it's not so good.
Working together across Zoom, and that 1 second delay really does a lot with music. And then when we're actually singing together with the rest of the cast, socially distanced of course, just hearing it and doing what we love again, and doing it together, and being back with like my family at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama, it's just a real joy, and I'm so glad to be back.
Group working is a vital part of students' time here, and gaining experience of live performance is also key. As well as that, the college courses for music students include intensive one-to-one teaching by professionals in their field. How can all this continue to be done with social distancing in place? Tim Rees-Evans is the college's director of music. We're by the new Steinway pianos, and this one, Tim, looks particularly high-tech. There's a screen on the music stand, a photograph of someone who looks surprisingly like the composer George Gershwin.
It is George Gershwin, and yeah, this is the Spirio R. We're the first conservatoire in the UK to have this, and this is Steinway's new technology. So this can completely recreate actual performances of individuals living and dead. It's not only taking the kind of notes that they're playing, it's almost taking the breath of that individual, how they pedaled, how they articulated the phrase. So this is George Gershwin himself playing Strike Up the Band. I know. So for listeners at home, when you're stood in front of this, all the keys are being depressed, the pedals are moving. It's just the whole performance. The only thing that's missing
is
the person.
Yeah. But so how is this technology useful to students here?
In the library, there are about 3,000 performances of people like Martha Argerich and Bernstein and Horowitz and Lang Lang and whatever. So our composers might be able to use those performances and create extra music to kind of duet. Also with incoming students, you know, we have students from all over the world here, and those students have to audition. Usually we would have either that student flying in to do an audition, or it could be them submitting a recording, or we will send staff across the world to hear the player live. This technology will allow a student to go into a Steinway showroom anywhere in the world. They will be able to play a Spirio piano there, which will link up to the Spirio piano in the Western studio in the college here, and we will be able to hear everything that piano that pianist is putting in. So, you know, we'll be able to get a sense of their fingering, their articulation, the whole player. Again, the only thing that's missing is the individual, and also the carbon emissions that global travel is doing. So I'm really excited about the possibilities this is going to enable us to really connect across the world in a much more real-time way than we've ever been able to before.
And yet times are very, very difficult. How on earth can students be taught effectively with social distancing in place?
It's been an incredibly difficult year. I started as director of music here on the 1st of April, which is roughly 2 weeks after lockdown. And over the last month, we've been having summer productions that should have happened from March to July. We've staged Così fan tutte, we've done five operas altogether, all with piano, all with social distancing, so no characters that can physically interact. So that's been a challenge, and the musical theatre students have done a little night music. I'm full of admiration for the technical operations team here, who've put in everything we can possibly do, I think, to guarantee the safety of our students. So there are temperature checks every time you check in. Masks are compulsory in all of the communal spaces. There are hand sanitizers everywhere. You know, musicians are a very friendly lot, and you even get woodwind players who'll share reeds and stuff. And, well, you know, all of those things are absolutely a thing of the past. It's a huge challenge. But what I am excited about, and I'm genuinely excited about this, is that we've been forced, albeit, to concentrate on chamber music. And when you're making chamber music, there's real focus on you as an individual and on a deeper sense of craft. So I think the next term is potentially a really exciting one artistically. I think we're going to be looking at a greater range of repertoire.
It's interesting, isn't it, for singers and instrumentalists, a key skill is listening to whoever you're performing with. And that will change because of social distancing between instruments, between singer and pianist, for example.
The physical space that's between people now is much greater. I think the fact that we're just going to be insisting that our students abide by these rules, and they will want to in order to stay safe, is going to encourage a greater sense of or a different way of creating ensemble. You just can't rely on waiting for the person who's stood next to you on the shoulder before you make that entry. It's all going to focus in a very, very different way.
How much teaching, Tim, will there be for the music students when it's face-to-face? Or is there stuff you can do on Zoom and other platforms?
What was amazing about lockdown was that we basically had 48 hours to move from an entirely, almost 19th century model of training in a conservatoire to very much 21st century. I'd never heard of Zoom in January, and now it's all I do. I wake up in the morning and I have back-to-back Zooms, and I've been really so amazed and impressed by the way our tutors embraced that new technology. In reopening after lockdown, we are prioritising those experiences which are seriously reduced by having to do them remotely. So one-to-one lessons, chamber music, performance, rehearsal, all of that is our number one focus. Our academic delivery is going to be done online. I think there's an opportunity here because if a student has good reason to miss a lecture in real time, they'll be able to experience that lecture after they've done their rehearsal. So, you know, I'm trying to be as glass half full as I can because I think we all need to do that. And after the hellish experience that particularly our undergrads have had, just the whole A-level situation this year with the stress that would have given, you know, first of all, they weren't allowed to do their A-level exams. Then there was doubt over the grades they were going to get. I think we're going to be getting students who have been through a lot. It's hard to describe the impact of that. And I'm thrilled that we get to open, that we get to welcome our students back, and being mindful of social distancing, that we get to make music again.
You must feel for those students that you were working with as lockdown came, who will have graduated and who would have been going out into the professional world, a lot of them, and there have been no auditions for them to go to. Nobody's hiring. What do they do?
It's really tough. Leaving music college is tough anyway because there are few jobs, there are a few opportunities. In the time of COVID, that's multiplied by a million because there literally aren't any jobs out there at the moment. And the people who are in those jobs are so grateful to be salaried and in orchestras and in opera companies, etc. They're not going to be going anywhere soon. The grain of hope that I have is that one of the first things that people turned to when lockdown happened was the arts. People needed to have that experience of the creative industries. I hope that we can remember that when we come out of this and realise that it speaks to us on such a deep level. It is a food for the soul, and I know that sounds over the top, but I genuinely mean it. And if this hideous experience that we're all still going through gives one more person a greater appreciation of the value of the arts, then that will be an amazing thing.
You're listening to the Radio Wales Art Show. I'm Nicola Hayward-Thomas, and we're here at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama looking at the effect coronavirus restrictions have on arts education and training. Training that depends so much on collaboration. Jonathan Munby is the college's new Director of Drama Performance. Jonathan, extraordinary times, but, I mean, for you, starting in a new role, what's the plan for the new term?
Well, I'm quietly optimistic. You know, we've had to work in very creative ways to find solutions to delivering performances. And so we've had to think on our feet and recreate the way that we kind of deliver that work. We can film at the moment in a way that we can't actually stage theatre work. So our third year students are actually going to be making short films for the first time, which will culminate in a short film festival later on in the year. So we're actually starting the year in a really positive way.
It's a slight change of emphasis on the training that year of students will get then. Less perhaps on a stage performance in your own theatre here.
Yeah.
And skills for TV and film.
But I think that's indicative really of a shift in the industry. I was determined to take a look at the balance of training for both stage and screen and really up the screen experience for the students, because there's a huge amount of TV and film being shot, especially in Wales. In the second half of the autumn, we are going to get our students on stage. We're going to perform plays on stage, but we're going to shoot them using various different filming styles and then broadcast them on our new digital platform. So we're really being very creative in the ways that we deliver the work and actually staying really up to the minute in terms of use of technology.
It's a shame when you think that these students are not going to experience the joy of working in your Richard Burton Theatre here with an audience and that electricity that they get from an audience. But this could be the way of the future.
It could be the way of the future, and I think we just need to be realistic about that. Also, I'm quietly optimistic about how things are going to shift towards the end of this year going into the spring. I think we'll find ways of getting a live audience back into theatres, COVID or not, vaccine or not. I think there are ways now that we can use testing, we can use temperature checks, we can make sure that beyond social distancing, we can find ways of getting audiences back into our spaces and to embrace live performance again.
Acting has always been seen as potentially quite a precarious profession. Now, surely it's even more so. Is there a sense of moral responsibility for these students?
Yes, there is. There is. And I'm mindful of our graduates and the kind of world that they're going into. But, you know, what we've been seeing even before COVID really are a number of student-led initiatives of young companies coming through where students are deciding to make their own work, and I'm hugely supportive of that, and actually we'll start building into the training support for students to really take the initiative themselves and create work and not have to wait for an industry or a set of government guidelines.
The students who will have graduated this year back in the summer must have had possibly the worst deal of all, because lockdown came in March.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed into this building.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And my heart goes out to them. Having said that, what we were able to do through Zoom and other online communication platforms was to deliver them a series of work, actually, that connected them to the industry. They did a whole slew of masterclasses with leading industry professionals, and they had some, I think, exposure to the industry in a way that perhaps they wouldn't have had before. Of course, it's not the same as performing in a theatre to a live audience and performing a showcase and, you know, getting exposure and perhaps an agent through those traditional routes. But these aren't traditional times. So, you know, it's about being creative. And I think last term, those students got an experience that no other kind of drama school student was able to have previously.
Are agents still signing up young, new talent?
They are. There's still, I think, the thrill of the new. I think agents are still hungry to find those young, talented actors, those stars of tomorrow. So, yeah, the conversations that I'm having with agents, they're still searching for those actors. So yeah, I feel optimistic, I think, about
about our students' future. Yeah.
How many students will you actually be taking in this year on the acting course?
Well, we're actually oversubscribed on some courses. So 24 actors on the undergraduate course, yeah, will be joining us in the autumn, you know, and, you know, another cohort for the MA actors and another cohort for musical theatre. In fact, musical theatre is oversubscribed in a way that it never has been before, so... You know, there is still a real hunger out there. You know, and I spoke to a student who was thinking of coming to us only a few weeks ago. And I said, you know, are you thinking twice about coming? And they said, absolutely not. I want to start my training. Because in 3 years' time, who knows? Hopefully the world will be back to normal and the industry will be alive and kicking again. So, no, I want to get in with my training now.
And that's very heartening when you think that there could be potentially a lost generation of new talent.
Yes, yes, indeed. You know, but you just have to talk to these students and these young actors to realise that there's still a passion, there's still a love for this art form. I think that's one of the reasons I was interested in this job in the first place. You know, it's about connecting with and working with these young artists and really feeding off their energy and their passion for this work.
Well, that's it for this week. So thank you to all my guests at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama. Good luck to students and staff here as they adapt to a very different world. Remember, you can listen again and subscribe to the programme via the BBC Sounds app. I'm back in a fortnight at 6:30. Do join me then, but I leave you for now with more from the 24 Pianos.